Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons, the host of today's Business Radio. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Greg Jorgensen. I am the host of today's Business Radio, and I'm also the owner and founder of Phalon Partners, which is a mergers and acquisitions advisory firm. That's a mouthful. But what that means is we do several types of business. On one side, we do what we call sell-side representation, which means if you're a business owner and you're thinking about selling your firm, you come to us and we help you with all aspects of that, and we'll get into that in a little bit. We do buy-side representation, which means if you want to grow your firm, either organically or by acquisition, if you're going to grow it by acquisition, we help you do a search. We help you identify the firms that might be appropriate and then engage in a search for those other firms that might be willing to sell and help you analyze and negotiate the purchase of that. And we do some consulting. And the consulting is all based on our approach that deals with when is the right time to sell, and a long-term approach that involves planning, preparation, timing, and execution. And we could have a whole show just on those.
Oh, yeah. So talk about your book then, because I know that I've had you at the Fast Track Growth Program at St. Thomas, and you talk about exit strategies, which is also the name of your book.
It is. Some years ago, I was approached by an old friend, a marketing expert, and he said, you do things a little bit differently, and you should write a book. And I asked him what he'd been drinking, and he said, well, some very good red wine. He said, but I'm not inebriated. You do things differently, and you should write a book about it. And he planted a seed, and I started writing down things about my firm that describe how we practice and what we do. And it ended up being a very good tool so that it differentiates between how we operate as merger and acquisition advisors as opposed to some of the other firms. And the real difference is in the planning and preparation. When we sit down with a business owner, the first thing we want to do is ask them how many years you've been in business, how old are you, how many more years would you like to work, and they'll say, let me out of here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start talking about retirement. What does retirement mean to you? In a perfect world, if you could retire tomorrow, how much money do you need? What would you do? Where would you go? Have you talked to your spouse, your family? Do you have any idea what you do when you're not fully engaged 24/7 in your business? And most of them really haven't thought about it very well because they have been so busy operating their business. Thank God there are business owners in the world, but thank God again that there are employees in the world because without good employees, how could you ever operate a business?
Well, that seems to be one of the biggest problems companies face is finding good employees. I mean, that seems to be one of the biggest struggles they have.
Number one problem we hear from every business owner is how do you find good, productive employees and how do you keep them?
Right.
And how do you keep them happy and how do you share so that they feel like they have some ownership in the business?
Do you work with that in your practice then?
We work with it in the aspect that when we sit down with business owners, we talk a lot about when is the appropriate time to sell a business.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them forget when the good times are here. Maybe that's the time to sell. But when you back up from there and you talk about those retirement issues, then you next have to talk about financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about how much is enough. If I sell my business today, if you can imagine a business owner spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week running a business for 20 years or maybe 30 years, and all of a sudden they're just burned out, they're wiped out, maybe their health is bad, whatever the reason for selling, The worst thing in the world they could do is sell that cash cow before it had the enterprise value so that they could accomplish their goals. And their goals might be what they want to do in retirement. You know, some of the guys might want to golf every major golf course in the world. They might want to go fishing. They might want to, you know, do different things. What we talk to them about is plan your retirement and plan it well. I mean, once you've gone fishing for 3, 4, 5 weeks, you know, what are you going to do for the next 20 years?
Now, what do you mean by enterprise value? I mean, what does that mean?
Enterprise value is the biggest question that comes up in our practice, and that is, what is my business really worth? And of course, the answer at the end of the day is it's worth as much as a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller. Now, that sounds like a cop-out. What's my business worth? There's all kinds of formulas. Most of them are not good. It all comes down to the tangible and intangible assets and the income, the EBITDA, if you will, or the adjusted cash flow of the business and some kind of multiple of that. And it all comes down to the dollars and cents. It all comes down to the financial statements and add into that the blue sky. And of course, some people say, blue sky, what is that? Well, the blue sky basically is the premium that you pay for a business above the actual asset value of the assets that you're purchasing. And it's not something that you go out and deliberately say, okay, today is Tuesday, your blue sky is worth $10 million. How it's arrived at is you define the business in terms of, here's the business that we're selling, here are the assets that we're selling, here's the cash flow that's developed from the business, and here are the intangibles. The intangibles could be a good product line, it could be copyrights, could be trademarks, could be systems, procedures, could be proprietary things that you've developed, all those things that give you an edge over the competitors in the market. And then what you do is you try to create an auction, you try to find multiple buyers for a business. And at the end of the day, the buyer that offers the best price and best terms is going to set the value. And then to arrive at blue sky, you actually subtract off the cost of the assets and the difference is blue sky. So it's not something that you go out and you actively try to determine how much blue sky is here. It's the remainder, the premium, if you will.
What are you seeing in this market especially? Because it sounds like you have this auction, you have a lot of buyers that you bring together. So there's a competitive edge there.
Once you make the decision to sell, then we go out. And the businesses that we sell are middle market businesses. They're bigger than the ma and pa businesses, which I call jobs, and they're smaller than the multinationals. So the businesses that we sell are worth from $2 to $100 million. On the search side, they're worth from $25 to $500 million. So it's truly middle market businesses. And those aren't the type of businesses that you can just take an ad out in the paper and say, hey, I've got a $20 million business for sale. Call me tomorrow. Because the business is concerned about confidentiality. They don't want their employees to find out they're selling.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to risk losing a good employee. They don't want their vendors to find out they're selling. They don't want their competitors to find out they're selling, because you can imagine a competitor marching up and down the street saying, hey, Joe Blow over there, his business is for sale. He's going out of business. Come with us. We'll take better care of you. So most of my clients tell me, I want you to sell my business. I want you to get as much money for me as you can, and I don't want you to tell anybody about it. And I usually say, well, I can do that. and there are methods by which you can be confidential, by using teasers, by talking in generalities. When we use the internet to do an email broadcast to industry buyers and to private equity buyers, we send out a teaser. And we might say, we've got an upper Midwest business that's in such and such an industry that has this kind of grosses, very profitable. Call us if you're interested in buying it. And then what we do is we turn our guns on them. And we say, okay, who are you? What business do you own? How many years have you been in business? Are you profitable? Do you have a bank reference? We qualify them as buyers before they even know who we're talking about.
Right.
And then we go back to our sellers and we say, we've got somebody from Chicago. Here's his business. Here's where you can check him out. We can check out his bank reference. I think they're a qualified buyer. Can I talk to him? And then, of course, you get as many of those coming to look at the business as possible. Then you have them sign a confidentiality agreement, send out a detailed information book so that they can determine what the business really is that you're selling and what the profitability is and why they're unique in the market and so forth. And then you create an auction. Hopefully you've got multiple buyers with multiple offers. And you'd be surprised. It's not always the highest offer that gets it done. Sometimes it's the second or third highest because it's a stronger offer, more cash down, better terms, maybe a better opportunity to combine the firms so that they do well in the future after the sale. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. We need to back up a little bit. And we do this, I would say fully half of the potential customers that come to us aren't ready to sell. They haven't thought through retirement. They haven't gone to a wealth management firm and said, okay, here are my assets. Here's my personal financial statement. Here's my business. We need to do an appraisal of the business, try to get some kind of idea of enterprise value. How much is it worth at the end of the day?
Is this the consulting side that you were alluding to?
It's not really. Part of the consulting is to make sure that the sellers, when we're talking about sellers, have good advisors on their team, because we build a team of advisors to help them. And one of the advisors is the wealth manager. And you need to sit down with that wealth manager to determine, okay, if I sell my business and after I pay my taxes on it and I pay my fees, I'm going to have X number of dollars left. If those dollars, along with the other personal assets I have, are sufficient so that I can go do the things I want to do, then maybe it's time to sell. But there's one more step to consider, and that's the legacy issues. Well, what's that? That's where you get the trust and estate attorney on the team, and you say, okay, Mr. Business Owner wants to sell that business in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and I have children, I have grandchildren, I have some issues I want to deal with to transfer some wealth. What tools are available so that we can transfer that wealth and minimize the estate or the death taxes on the transfer? And there's some very good tools available today. And of course, that's all in a state of flux. We just had an election, as you know, and we have a new administration, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen with the exemption, what's going to happen with the tax rate, and so forth. The consensus seems to be that there'll be some kind of a bill coming out of Congress that should lock in the estate taxes with about a $3 to $3.5 million exemption and probably a 35% to 40% federal death tax rate. When you add that to the state of Minnesota's current 16% death tax rate,
pretty significant.
It's very significant, and particularly after you consider that you've lived your whole life, you've paid employment taxes, you've paid capital gains taxes, you've paid sin taxes, you've paid all of these taxes, gas taxes, and if you're successful enough to accumulate some wealth, now you kick the bucket and there's the family and they're going to pay 61% or over 60% in death taxes if you haven't done the proper planning.
Right.
On the other hand, if we can talk to a business owner at least a year, if not more, before he's going to sell his business, might have the opportunity to use a generation skipping trust or a GRAT, a grantor's annuity trust, family limited partnership. There's a lot of tools available that where you can use your exemption, whatever it happens to be that year, to transfer some assets to future generations. And if those assets grow between the time you've transferred them and the time you die, there's still going to be some, or between then and the time you sell your business, there's still going to be some capital gains taxes to pay on the difference between the value when you transferred it and the value when it's sold, the business is sold. But they're going to be far less severe than the prohibitive federal and state death tax rates. So when we're talking to business owners about when do you sell, we want to get in early and say, okay, what's retirement mean to you? Have you done your financial planning? Have you done your estate planning? Have you taken the steps to understand what the business is going to be worth and how you can save some money? And the sooner we can talk to business owners about that, the better.
So you're saying a couple of years in advance, even sometimes, what, in the beginning of a business? Do you ever meet with a business owner or a potential business owner who's considering a business?
We've got a list today after almost 35 years in business of over 200 businesses that we've worked with on and off over the last 10 years to help them get ready. And not only the financial and estate planning, but getting the business ready for sale. When a buyer looks at a business, it's all going to be a function of risk. When they take a look at a business, if a business owner is doing everything, wearing every hat, he's the salesman, he or she is the salesman, and they're the operations person, and they're a financial person, and they're doing everything, that's high risk, because if you take that person out of the picture, what happens to the business?
Company.
Right.
Yeah. So a buyer's not going to develop any confidence in that business and in his ability to continue the business going forward. On the other hand, if they've delegated, if they've transferred the customer relationships and those responsibilities to a sales team, if they've got a CFO handling all the financials, if they've got an operations officer that's producing the products, if they're well organized and well trained, and we can convince a buyer that if you take that seller out of the picture, the business is going to continue without skipping a beat, now you've got a low-risk situation. And then if you take a look at all of the assets, such as the real estate and the equipment and so forth, there's some things you can do there. It's as simple as selling a house. If you're going to sell a house before you do that, maybe put in some new carpet and you paint it up and you clean it up.
Your realtor will tell you tons of things you should do.
Make the buy and do all the things. Business is a little bit similar, because most businesses, all businesses, occupy some real estate. If the owner owns the real estate, it's simple enough as go outside and clean up the yard, patch up the driveways, do whatever you're going to do, paint the building, get the inside as organized and systemized as possible, get rid of the old equipment that's no longer productive, get everything as organized as it can be, and get all of your people empowered to run the business to the greatest extent possible. And as you can imagine, that's a business that's a lot lower risk than a business where the owner's doing everything himself and the place is a mess.
Kind of common sense, actually.
But you're also, that sounds like the job that you're saying, that a seller or buyer would be looking at buying a job in the first case, where the seller is doing everything.
You know, I wasn't really talking about that. I was talking about the smaller businesses that maybe gross a million or a million and a half and make the owner $150,000 a year or something, and they're making a good living.
Mm-hmm.
But if I try to sell that business to an absentee outside investor, it's not going to happen, because by the time they hire a manager to run it, there's nothing left. So what's the enterprise value? Now, in that case, for an outside investor, there is no enterprise value. But for a small owner-operator, there is some enterprise value. Or for a competitor that's the same size that can pick that business up, move it, put it in his plant, mm-hmm. and not have to replace the seller, and maybe get some efficiencies or some savings in terms of rent and some other things, there is some enterprise value. So I'm not saying that those small businesses don't have value. I'm saying that they're sold differently, and a lot of them are very good jobs. And a lot of them are best suited for owner-operators. We're working in an arena where we're the next tier up, because it's investment-grade businesses where mm-hmm. you can be an absentee owner, or you can be a large private equity firm or industry buyer, and you can buy this and it has some value even after you pay the management to run it. So that's really the difference there.
Okay.
So what types of businesses have you worked with in the past?
Well, after 34, almost 35 years, we've sold just about every kind of business you can think of, and some you might not think of. We had an interesting one some years ago where a guy came to me, and he had a drain oil recycling firm.
Drain oil?
Drain oil.
What in the world is drain oil?
Drain oil from your car.
Okay.
You go to the gas station, and they pull the old oil out of it, put in a new filter and new oil, and what do you think happens to that? This drain oil firm, this gentleman had a number of trucks running all over the Twin Cities, picking up drain oil from auto dealerships and gas stations and every place that changed oil for cars. And it was an interesting business because, as you can imagine, it's an environmental problem. You can't just dump it. So the businesses he was picking up the oil from and the oil filters from paid him to take it away. And then he hauled it out to a huge tank out by the airport. He filtered it as he put it in his trucks. He filtered it again when he put it in a big tank. And what I didn't realize is oil doesn't go bad. It just gets dirty. And if you can clean it, you can reuse it.
Interesting. So
he was getting paid to pick it up. He was getting paid to dispose of the filters. And he was getting paid to sell the oil when he sold it. Well, it's a little niche that's around us every day. And if you look, you'll see these trucks. But I've never thought about it, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have never thought about it. There are niches in every marketplace where entrepreneurs have gone out and brilliantly found their niche and figured out how to make some money. And this guy was making some real money on this drain oil.
And it's, so we get into, we've gotten into every kind of business you can think of. In today's marketplace, despite the credit problems that we've been hearing about, there's still a lot of money chasing after deals. Over the last 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, the private equity firms that you hear about, the firms that go out and raise capital with a specific intent to go out and buy businesses, grow them, and then sell them either to a bigger private equity or take them public, are still out there. They've still got money. They're still funded. They're looking. They've been paying, in my opinion, a fairly high price for a number of years because there was a lot of capital chasing few deals, and credit was easy. Well, now that credit's tightening up, the loan-to-equity ratios, the loan-to-value ratios on those deals has come way down, and so the value of the deals has come back to probably where it should have been in the first place. Hmm. And a side product of the fact that private equity has been so busy the last 4 or 5 years is that the industry buyers, the big industry buyers, have been on the sidelines because they thought the prices were too high. So we're seeing the...
So they're coming back in.
Yes, we're seeing the industry or the strategic buyers stepping, putting their foot back in the water. And I would tell you that if you've got a good, profitable business with some size, if you've got $5 million, $10 million, $20 million in sales and you're making good profits, it's always a good time to sell because there are always buyers, and there are buyers out there today. Mm. The trick is find them. And we've found ways over the years to research the buyers and to figure out where the private equity firms are and to figure out where the industry buyers are and send out those teasers and get to them. I know in this program, you've picked on me as being part of the baby boomers and old, and you've called me crippled. But I've hired IT guys in my firm and gals.
So in the last, your actions were crippled.
Well, yeah, really. Maybe that goes back to my Vietnam experience. I don't know, or being a baby boomer. But I'm an old guy. But we've come into the future because we're using the internet, we're using the website, we're using email broadcasts, we're using research facilities, we're using things that weren't available as recent as 3 or 4 years ago. If I've got an industry seller that has some good size and I want to go sell it, I can now go out and access a couple of thousand private equity firms and do a sort on those and pull out the private equity firms that already have a platform company in that industry.
To really hone in.
To hone in on who the buyers are. Now, the private equity buyers that have a platform company already have the experience in the industry and they've already got the money. So they're very motivated buyers, and their whole purpose in being is to grow, and they grow by acquisition more than growing organically because that's who they are.
Are you seeing more M&A then than the flat-out selling of companies, or right now, just right now, past 3 months, maybe 4 months?
I would qualify that and say that in terms of mergers, that's always been there, and it's been kind of constant. With the private equity, it's more acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the financing tools are changing in the last 3 to 6 months because for many years, we didn't have to worry about owner financing. The seller didn't have to carry a note. But today, the credit is so tight and the secondary credit is so tight that the industry buyers and the private equity buyers are having to put up more equity.
Mm.
And when they do that, it changes their return on investment. And so now, in order to get deals done, sometimes you have to bring back in the seller financing or carry a note to get it done. So that's changed a little bit, and the prices have come down to, they're still paying very good prices for good profitable companies, but they're not paying the outrageous prices that they might have paid in the past. So just kind of to sum up, the thing that makes us a little different from most M&A firms is I want to make sure that when I meet a client that's interested in selling, they've got a good reason for selling. Why are you getting out now? Is it your health? Is it a lack of a succession plan? You don't have children that want to own the business. They've got to be serious. And if they're serious about selling, then we want to say, what are you going to do in retirement? Retirement doesn't mean today what it meant 30 years ago. You don't go sit in a rocking chair and 6 months later you die. My generation, the boomers, have fought this our whole life, and I think we're going to go out kicking and screaming and skydiving and hunting and fishing and whatever we can do.
You think?
Well, we're not going to give up. So we try to challenge our sellers and say, what's the next phase of your life? Call it retirement if you want, but what are you going to do?
Mm.
What is fulfilling? What keeps you engaged and lively?
You really concentrate a lot on that owner and the having a future and a retirement that's worthy of their lives, actually.
Absolutely.
And what they want to have.
Absolutely.
Going forward. Why this? I mean, because this is not a common, like you said, it's not a common viewpoint. M&A can be quite cutthroat.
Well, and a lot of it is, and we're as good at selling businesses as anybody else. We have the research, we have the internet tools, we have all of those things. But there's I have found in my business career that there's no coach. There's nobody out there that's taking the client's point of view. And what we try to do is say, there's no right or wrong. It's your life. It's your business. What do you want to achieve? What are your goals? What are your objectives? And how can we help you get there? And along the way, do you have a clue that when we go to sell your business, it's not all about the price? The price is important, but the structure of the deal can affect how much is left at the end of the day as much as the price, and how we allocate the price at the end of the deal can affect how much taxes you're going to pay. So it's about financial planning. It's about estate planning. It's about retirement. It's
all
about structuring the deal right. It's about pulling together that team, which is the wealth manager, the trust and estates lawyer, the CPA, so it's structured correctly from a financial statement, and the transaction attorney, so that at the end of the day when it is sold, and if the buyer does something wrong with it, you're not pulled back into the business once you're out and you're away from it. And that's very important, because once you've sold the business, once you've turned it over to another buyer, they own it. They can do anything they want to do with it. It's not yours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ruin it and you're carrying some paper, or if they do something wrong and you have to take it back, two things wrong with that. Do you really want to go back to work? And number two, what's going to be left when you get back there if they've bled the company and sold off the assets and so forth? But the most important thing is there's no right or wrong. It's what's best for the seller. And we reinforce that, and we talk about it at length, and we develop good relationships, and we try to coach them through that process so that they really do maximize the value of their business. Was that anything to do with the name of the book? Exit Strategy, Maximizing the Value of Your Business.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.